NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
That's like my old DB intro. Anyway, some of y'all got it, some of y'all didn't. You know what I mean? Maybe you're a Wu-Tang fan, maybe you're not. But hopefully, if you're listening, you're an Up on Game fan, a TJ Houshmandzadeh fan, a Plaxico Burress fan. I know y'all don't like me, but I'm LeVar Arrington. You can love to hate me. That's cool, too. I'm with that. I don't have a superpower. I'm not super stretchable, long, tall. Can leap and stretch over tall buildings in a single, well, stretching. I don't have the hair where I can knock things out. You know, they got a character on Mortal Kombat that's like modeled after TJ Houshmandzadeh. You know, they could use their hair and beat the hell out of you and stuff like that. We got Super Pantene Hair Man, you know, himself, TJ Houshmandzadeh. And then there's just.
Finish him.
Yeah.
Hey, LeVar, you had some hair. You just recently.
I cut it off. Yeah, I cut it off. I couldn't get it to look like TJ's, and I finally accepted that's not going to happen.
You should have cut that off a long time ago.
Exactly. But you was able to get yours smooth. You was using that hot comb off of the oven, the stove top.
Man, got that good hair.
I always had good hair, man.
Don't let the smooth taste fool you, baby.
I've seen your hair cut short, too. It looked just like mine. Yeah, I mean, that thing got long, though. It looked all shiny and straight. I knew somebody was putting that comb on the top of that oven, that stovetop.
Yes, Shout out to my old hairstylist, Christina, back in Pittsburgh. She know how to put that grease down in them parts.
Man,
I tell you that.
That joint looked so shiny and so crisp and clean and ready to go. But, you know, you don't have that no more. You the old head with the little old head gray patch in the front.
Yeah, I got it all going on.
Head looks so jacked up, though, in terms of grayness and all that other stuff. It looked like somebody I went rolling, doing slip and slide in a barbershop with gray hairs and black hairs, and whatever happened. I don't know. I had super glue on my head or something. But anyways, I digress. We came into the show all crazy with that, but welcome to everybody that's into the show now. Welcome everybody, or thank you for staying in, I should say, if you have already been listening to hour one. We're in hour two, our final hour. We got Joy Taylor coming in next after this show. She's been killing it, by the way. So, I mean, man, you want to hear some interesting perspective, some different perspective. Make sure you stay tuned after our show to listen to Joy Taylor. She drops that hammer. Fellas, speaking of dropping hammers, the National Football League has not had to drop a hammer on one Deshaun Watson. There have been comments, conversations, rumors, reports coming from out of Houston and from credible sources, from what I can gather, that well, the trade rumors to the Dolphins are heating up. My first thought was, okay, it's heating up. They want to get him in here. Everything is being kind of framed in a way where if this trade takes place, he's basically, in essence, coming in to start and take over for Tua and for this Dolphins team. I can't see it. I can't fathom it. I just don't think it'll happen. But Brady Quinn had an interesting take on it during the course of the week, and he basically said he wonders if this means that there are conversations that have ensued and are taking place where there's confidence that these settlements may take place and things may go away in the next, you know, several – well, it may go away soon. Albert Breer comes on to the show and says, think about – three or so months from now, what that could possibly represent for Deshaun Watson in terms of getting through these allegations and these charges filed against him. But 3 months from now, this season is basically over. You know what I mean? So what's your guys' take on the latest with Deshaun Watson? if this is a trade that is going to take place, how does it play out? How do you see it playing out? What's a win situation? What's a losing situation?
Everybody's speculating. And Albert Breer in 3 months and Brady Quinn, it's all speculation. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. But I'll say this. Number one, you talk to Miami Dolphins. Tua's not playing bad football. He's not. They're just not good as a football team right now. But he's not playing bad football. If they think Deshaun Watson is going to come solve their problems, they're going to be in for a surprise. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is, if Deshaun Watson hasn't been traded, the league is basically telling whoever, Houston and whomever else, meaning the Dolphins, the Panthers, whoever it may be, he's going to get put on the exempt list. So you're trading for him. He's not going to be able to play. Why else would he still be on Houston, not playing, collecting a salary, if he's not going to be put on the list? Trade him. You trade him, he's not going to be able to play. That's why nobody's going to trade for him right now. The league is going to put him on the exempt list until this entire ordeal is handled. When will that take place? I have no idea. But the Miami Dolphins, they need to figure out, before Deshaun Watson gets there, why are we not more competitive in these games? Because they just played in London. Tua played well. You still lost. They're going to play tomorrow. I don't know how Tua's going to play, but they're probably going to lose to the Falcons just because they're not a good football team right now.
Hmm. There's a few things about the situation that I don't understand. Does Deshaun Watson have a no-trade clause in his contract?
Yes, he has to waive it. He's got to get that out of there.
Okay. So
that's on his side.
Yeah, that's on his side. He has no trade clauses in his contract. And just like TJ said, the other part that I do not understand is the Dolphins, I know that they are doing their due diligence when it comes to Deshaun Watson and trading for him. If he was able to play right now, I know for a fact that he would have been moved and would have been traded to the Dolphins or whoever, and he would be playing football right now. But the uncertainty of everything that's going on, if everything goes out of the window, then why would the Houston Texans trade Deshaun Watson? It makes no sense to me.
They want their value.
Yeah, they want their value, but at the same time, if he's able to play now, why are you not playing him?
Because they don't want him to get injured.
They don't want him to get injured, and I also believe that they are in contact with Roger Goodell in the NFL the moment that they put that man on the football field, they are going to suspend him.
Yeah.
So that is the whole issue behind the Deshaun Watson trade is, listen, if he could be moved with the certainty that all of these allegations would go away or they would be dismissed and they knew this going forward, he would already be on another team. But at the same time,
but trading him doesn't
make you any better as an organization.
But to that point, what if they're getting closer to that? Like, I wouldn't make that trade if it was day one of you saying, yeah, we're heading towards a settlement.
If they're getting closer towards what?
If they're getting closer towards settling this. Because the only way these things go away.
Those are things that we don't know.
That's what I'm saying. But maybe they are becoming known. You know what I mean? Like, maybe
behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's what I would assume, right? Isn't that what it's making?
That's what you have to assume. Because the trade rumors have not went away. They're still there. So obviously they know something that we do not.
Let me put this one on a kite and send it y'all's way and see how y'all handle
That's going to be a powerful kite.
All right, here we go. That idea that they could settle was the first thing that came to mind. But then the second thing that came to mind is, If this Miami team continues to underachieve, you'd have to assume that the GM made a mistake in drafting. At least they're going to consider him making mistakes. They're going to look at Flores as not being the right guy to lead this team because, looking LeVar, at it. Hold on. Let me give it to you.
No. Think about their last few first-round picks. Just think about the last few years. Who's panned out?
None. None of them have panned out.
So their last three first-round picks, you don't think they'll trade those three and the last two second-round picks for Deshaun Watson?
Okay, so peep game on this, right? What if they're doing this in order to make it a more attractive job for a dope coach to come in and a dope GM to come in? We're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. The owner has been the most vocal about getting this done. The head coach continues to maintain, you know, that Tua is our guy. So this might not be a team effort that's taking place here. This may be a move for the future. You bring in Deshaun Watson. You know he's not going to be able to play this season, but you have him on your roster. You get everything cleared up, and then now you may be clearing it up. Either A, listen, you get one more chance, Flores, with Deshaun Watson. If you don't do it this time, you got to go. Or B, you get rid of Flores, you get rid of the GM, you bring in, you clean house, you bring in a new GM, you bring in a new head coach. And your biggest drawing card to get a really, really legitimate coach and GM is Deshaun Watson. Go.
I don't think anything that has anything to do with it.
Okay.
It all boils down to if Deshaun Watson gets traded by the deadline, which is, what is it, November 2nd?
November 2nd.
Will he be able to play?
No.
I think that's what all the teams want to know because, trust me, there's more than one team that want Deshaun Watson to be their quarterback. They want to know if he gets traded, will he be able to play? That's all they want to know.
But if that's the case, see, to me, it can't be that simple. Because
yes, it is. It's all legal with Deshaun Watson right now.
It isn't that.
It has nothing to do can he go where he will go. And will he perform? Everything in front of Deshaun Washington is all legal issues.
But
the league would prefer he get traded in the offseason. You don't have to make a move. You don't have to do anything.
Right. They don't have to do anything.
That's what they would prefer.
But they're going to be put in a position possibly where they have to make a decision. And if that decision is made and he's put on the commissioner's exempt list, you're not making that decision void of the knowledge that you needed to do that or that was going to happen. If you're going to make the investment,
they already know what's going to happen. So Roger Goodell holds all the cards.
You're making my point, Plexico. If you make the deal, it isn't just about him being able to play because you're already going to be aware of what the NFL is planning on doing. So if they are going to sit this man out and you're going to give up all them ducats to be able to bring that man into your organization and he's going to sit, then what is the reason why you're going to do it?
If he could play right now, he will be the starting quarterback.
Okay, but he's not going to play right now. So answer the coach. Darn!
You just answered your own question.
No, I want you to answer it because you just said it has nothing to do with it.
Handle the truth.
You don't want to give them the truth, Plexico.
Answer.
Tell them the truth.
Your own question.
Okay, so that is the answer then. I'm saying
Deshaun Watson will not play football this year.
Okay, so then why do you do the trade? What is the why will you give up all that you're going to give up in value to get Deshaun Watson?
Well, for one, he doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't want to be there. And you're getting him in your program.
But what about the people who are going to bring him there? I know about why Houston would do it. Why would
what
you do it?
Who are these people you talking about? A new coach and a new GM?
The Miami Dolphins.
Because you're building for the future, LeVar.
Yes.
He's a young quarterback. You bring him in for the future. It's not like he's 35 years old. He's a young quarterback. You're building for the future. He's going to play, health forbidden, and he's healthy, another 10 years. That's why you bring him in. Even if he can't play this year, you bring him in for the future.
All right, man. You know what? I just feel like y'all just said the same thing I just said, but y'all wrapped it up and reintroduced it like I was up on some
You know why we think the way we do? Because they say when you're younger, you think because we're defying aging with M-Drive.
Oh,
the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Well, don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive, LeVar. Go get it. That chocolate berry.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to hop in a Ram and we're going to go get that M-Drive. And while we at it, we're going to go hop into a parking lot, baby, because it's football season. And that means tailgating is back. Yeah, so we're going to do it right. We're going to pack it up. We're going to get our coolers, grills, widescreen TVs, and we're going to load them all up into our Ram. The truck that's brand is redefining what trucks can be. Ram leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. First time a truck brand has ever been scored so high. Ram trucks have rugged durability, hauling power, everything that you need, and a luxurious interior to make your drive super pleasurable. Good! Get behind a wheel, that is, of a Ram truck. And find out why that brand is turning heads every single time you pull up to the game. Get ready for football season in a Ram truck. Learn more about Ram and what it has to offer at ramtrucks.com for 2021 J.D. Power Award info. Visit jdpower.com/awards. Shame on you, Pretty Left Hook Podcast.
Shame. A song.
Shame. Shame on you when Rhett Butler comes through to up on game. Shame. Shame on you. You're listening to Up On Game. That's TJ Hutchmanzada. That's Plexico Burris. On the other side of this break, as I just sat there and said in my Osiris voice, and that ODB voice, we'll have Rhett Butler from Pretty Left Hook Podcast coming on to the show to talk about the big fight tonight. We'll get into all of that coming up next.
Shakur Stevenson, Jamel Herring, baby.
How about that, man? Big fight tonight, and we're going to talk about it on the other side of this break. Fox Sports Radio, Up On Game. Take a quick deep breath because we're coming right back and we're going to get your heart rate back up again.
That just proves my point.
And Bo knows that, but Bo don't know Jack because Bo can't rap. So what do you know? The dead dog, your first all about. No batteries included and no trees are tied. That's how I'm going to fake it.
Uh-huh. Look like we got a real nail biter in Happy Valley.
Hey, we don't have no nail biter. They just happen to run the ball
fighting
in.
Fighting a lion, not putting up a good fight.
Yeah, whatever.
Chief of Lion, aye.
Ain't nobody worried about no eye.
Man, it's a real nail biter. Look like y'all can't stop the run today. What's going on?
We haven't really done well against the run. I mean, we had a little serious setback to our defensive front, but we'll be fine. We will be fine.
68th in football BS.
Which one leaving? Franklin or Tucker?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Which one?
I'm going to tell you who ain't leaving. Shakur Stevenson. He's not leaving. He's 16-0. He got 8 KOs, which means half of the time he's beating the hell out of you and ending the fight. And the other half, he's just beating the hell out of you and making you suffer until we go to the scorecards. But the guy he's fighting, Xander Zayas, he's undefeated as well.
No.
That's the top guy. Herring. I'm sorry, Jamel Herring.
He's not undefeated.
Right, that's correct. The top contenders, my apologies, is Xander Zayas, and he's 10-0 with 7 KOs. Anyway, he's fighting Jamel Herring. That's correct. He's 23-2 with 11 KOs, and he's really good as well. This is a WBO junior lightweight title fight. So, Let's go out to the phone lines because I know TJ and Plex are big fight geeks, big Mark nerds on the fight game, and none better to talk to about the fight game than our guy Rhett Butler from Pretty Left Jab Podcast. What's up, Rhett B?
What's up, baby? Woo!
What's going on, though?
I hope y'all ready for tonight, man. This is going to be a fight of epic proportions. Oh, my God. It's going down.
Man. Go ahead, TJ. I know you're ready for it.
Let me ask you this. You know, with Jamel Herring, he's a former Marine. He's a good fighter. But everybody thinks Shakur Stevenson is going to be an easy fight for him. Jamel just comes off as a nice dude, man. Like, Shakur trash-talking him, and Jamel's just taking it. What is he going to have to do to just be competitive in this fight?
So it's a great question. You know, Jamel Herring gets slept on left, right, and upside down. This kid is a monster. Yeah, he got 2 losses. But let's look at this kid's veteran experience, right? Number one, he's been in the game way longer than Shakur. Clearly, he's older than Shakur. But at the same time, he has a lot to fight for. Unfortunately, he lost his daughter due to SIDS not too long ago. That's a competitive advantage in terms of determination. He knows that Shakur Stevenson is young. Shakur is only 24 years old, you know what I'm saying, to Jamel's 35. So he knows that for him, he beats Shakur Stevenson, he stops the hype train. Shakur beats Jamel, it's what everybody thought, right? He's on the road to success and to bigger and better playing field. But Jamel knows this is a pivotal moment for him in a division that gets largely slept on since Gervonta Davis left the division 2 years ago. Also, remember, Jamel Herring, his big bro, Terrence Crawford. Today's Marvin Hagler, in my opinion. So when you have a guy like Terrence Crawford that's in your corner, that is your one of your trainers, whatever, one of your training partners, that's a major advantage and a major key over a guy like Shakur Stevenson. However, Shakur is the young lion. Shakur knows. Everybody's been talking about him since his time as an amateur, since his time in the Olympics. He came up short and got a silver medal against Rabisi Ramirez in the Rio Olympics. However, he's still that guy. Newark born, Newark made, got the million-dollar smile, but he hasn't fought nobody yet of substance to the public, especially the casual fan. This is a major moment for him.
Go ahead, Plex.
Oh, man, listen, man, I love Shakur Stevenson, man. I heard about Shakur. I think he's from Newark, so he's a Jersey kid. So I heard about him when he was 16, man, going to watch him fight. He was 16. I think he got the silver medal in the Olympics back in 2016. So he's been around for a long time, man. But this fight is not going to be an easy one for him because these guys know each other. They trained in the same gym together. So they know the they know the different tactics that can get at each other. But I believe that Shakur Stevenson, since Gervonta Davis left the division, I think he is the premier talent in this weight class, and I consider him to be pound for pound one of the best boxers in the world. What you think?
I do agree, but I think that Shakur has a little more to prove, right? Because when you look at his division, you got Oscar Valdez. Yeah, he had a little issue in relation to a PED situation that did last fight.
Hey, little issue my butt. Little issue my butt. They always make an excuse when they test positive.
No, absolutely. It's 100% foul, and they definitely skirted the law by going to an Indian reservation for Oscar Valdez's last fight because, as we all know, that's not the state commission. That's a casino-owned commission. But at the same time, what we do know about this division is that you have Chris Colbert, who's nice. He's in the division. You got, obviously, Jamel Herring with a belt, Chris Colbert with a belt, Oscar Valdez with a belt. Shakur Stevenson wins this fight, mind you. Jamel Herring's coming off a huge win back in a couple months ago against Carl Frampton, which was huge in April. That was a huge win. He knocked him out in the sixth round. So Carl Frampton, for those who know fighting, has always been in big fights. Jamel Herring knocking him out is not a small feat. And he did it in Dubai, meaning they wasn't in his home turf. So at the end of the day, Jamel's a series champion. But we know about Shakur Stevenson, that he has everything on his side in terms of motivation. He wins this fight. He has all these guys I just discussed in his path, right? Oscar Valdez, Chris Colbert, possibly. Then if he leaves the division and went and sweeps up those belts, he can only go up to lightweight where everybody's at. Ryan Garcia, Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney. So we're talking about, and then possibly Gervonta Davis, who now is coming back to fight Rolly Romero in the lightweight division. So if Shakur wins this fight and can clean out the division, which is two other champions, he can move up to lightweight, and then we'll have potentially five kings all in the lightweight division, making it the modern-day era like the welterweights were when Sugar Ray and Duran and those guys were fighting.
Ooh. All right.
I look at it like I really believe Shakur is going to win this 10 rounds of 2, 9 rounds of 3. He's going to outbox him. The fight that I'm looking forward to is next month. Sean Porter, Terrence Crawford. How do you see that playing out?
Sean Porter can't get it. Sean Porter don't win them big ones, man.
Listen, Sean Porter is a like.
I love Showtime, but he don't be pulling
Crawford,
it down.
Terrence Crawford can fight.
He's that dude.
He does not fight on the inside. He ties you up. He does not want to fight on the inside. You're not tying Sean up on the inside. He's going to make you fight a fight you don't want to fight. Terrence Crawford may be more talented, but he does not fight on the inside, and Sean Porter is a dog.
I think he's too long for him, and I just think that he'll
Listen, when somebody punches hard, you smother them. When they're too fast for you, you smother them. Sean Porter's going to smother. You watch all the Terrence Crawford fight. He does not want to fight on the inside. He ties you up. Sean Porter's not going to let you tie him up. How you see that going?
You know, well, first, I got to push back on my brother Vaughn right there. Don't ever come for my man Sean Porter like that. Yes, he does win this fight.
He beat Danny Garcia.
He came for Paulie Malignaggi. He knocked him out in four rounds.
How long ago was that?
Adrian Broner.
How long ago was that?
That was 20 plus years.
That's like 20 plus years. All right, go ahead.
But now, but Danny Garcia was 2018, and he beat your Dennis Ugas, the guy who just dethroned Manny Pacquiao. So come on, man, we got to get Sean a little respect.
We're going. All right. I mean, I'm gonna stand on what I stand on, but you're the expert, so I'm gonna let you have that until my man Crawford go ahead and do what it is I say he's gonna do. But go ahead, you can respond
to your point. Terrence is long and Terrence is mean. Now, what we know about Sean Porter, he's a straight dog from Cleveland. At the end of the day, he's going to get up in your chest. He's never going to give you any rest. Now, to Plax's point, Terrence Crawford is not trying to do that kind of fight. He likes to avoid and beat you up throughout the fight, and then once he sees you staggering, take you out. He's a sniper. At the same time, Sean Porter is going to give Terrence no room. So what we have here is a fight of attrition. You have Sean Porter's dogged will against Terrence Crawford's patient sniper issues. So what you have is two guys with two conflicting styles, so it makes it a great welterweight fight. What we also know is that Terrence Crawford believes that he'll never see Errol Spence. He thinks Errol Spence's last two injuries in terms of the surgery he just received and the car accident that he had are the two things that are going to derail the biggest fight in welterweight history to date outside of Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather. So this right here could be the biggest defining moment, I'll say, for Terrence Crawford's career. Because Sean Porter's had many big moments because he's fought bigger names, but Terrence Crawford, everybody says, has never fought the names of marquee value that real fans respect and casuals respect. Sean Porter answered that question.
I got mad love for Crawford, by the way, and I had mad love for Porter. Just so we're clear on that, I wasn't hating. I just was just giving my expert opinion on how I look
really
at it, you know,
me.
my lack of expert opinion. Hey, Rhett, before we let you go, we appreciate you always coming on. Make sure you check out Pretty Left Hook podcast with Rhett Butler. He gets great guests, does an excellent job, amazing job. In fact, well, we'll make that announcement another time. But yeah, we'll hold that on him. But Rhett, who do you have winning this fight, man? And just a real quick, why?
Absolutely. I got to go with my man Plax. I'm killing Shakur Stevenson tonight. I think Shakur wins it in a unanimous decision fashion. I think he knows the importance of this. He has Andre Ward as his manager. He has the man out of Houston himself, Jay Prince, as his advisor. This man's coming for the win.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Hey, we appreciate your time, Rhett. Yeah, we'll bring you back on so we can talk about the Crawford-Porter fight as well. Obviously, you'll be around. You're a friend of the show, part of the show, part of the network, and, well, that will come out pretty soon. We'll let everybody know. So we appreciate you coming on, Rhett. Another guy that's a part of the team that we really enjoy and we appreciate and we like and we admire, he's a jock.
Like,
but
my,
you know,
boxing guys,
you know, he's a jock, but we accept him for being a really, really good trending guy as well. Our guy, Ilo. What's going on, Isaac Lohengrin?
To be honest, I'm really more of a jock than a really good trending guy, to be completely honest with you. But I'll get into the trending right now. All right, so here's number 2 Cincinnati playing on the road at Navy, and Navy had played him to a 10-10 draw. 10 seconds left to play in the second quarter. Navy attempted a 51-yard field goal. Cincinnati blocked it, returned it to the Navy 34, and Cincinnati has just kicked a 52-yard field goal by Alex Bales at the first half gun. So number 2 Cincinnati takes a 13-10 lead into halftime at Navy. Number 3 Oklahoma at 7-0 at 1-5 Kansas today. There was a power outage across the entire Lawrence, Kansas, University of Kansas campus early in the game. So the scoreboard wasn't working, no electricity. The Kansas radio broadcast had to do its radio broadcast over the phone. And here's how it sounded from Brian Haney on WHB. Listen.
Haney.
Wow.
Here's Devin Neal to the goal line. Is he in? Yes. Touchdown, Kansas. And the Jayhawks strike first, marching 80 yards down the field. It's Kansas 6 and Oklahoma nothing.
Again, that was over the phone because of a campus-wide power failure in Lawrence. The power was restored to everyone but Oklahoma. Kansas added a field goal, so Kansas has a 10-0 halftime lead over number 3 and 7-0 Oklahoma. They've just gone to halftime in Ann Arbor. Number 6 Michigan leading Northwestern, but only by 3, 10-7 in that one.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, so
thank you.
So if they have no power in Lawrence, Kansas during the game, so the coaches didn't have any communications from the field
Correct.
To the booth.
Oh, Correct. That's a very good point.
That's possible.
Oh, hang on, guys. Hang on.
Okay.
Just got a text message here. This is from – oh, I didn't even know that LeVar knew my number. All right. He says, if you don't play a Penn State highlight here, Ilo, I'm going to do a LeVar leap on you.
Oh,
what's that?
Which happened in the Illinois game,
that's
by the
disgusting.
Way.
That's disgusting.
Okay. Well, disgusting. Well, we'll have to expand on that. But I'm going to accept your request, LeVar. Here is Steve Jones on WQWK with 7th-ranked Penn State hosting Illinois.
Two tight ends, both on the far side. Johnson and Strange. Kane to the left. On the near hash. Back, Clifford. Quick slant. He's got Keandre Lambert-Smith. Goodbye. Touchdown, Penn State.
Penn State holding a 10-7 lead over Illinois. That game at halftime, number 16, Wake Forest, a 28-21 halftime lead at Army. Baseball, the Los Angeles Times reports that Dodgers pitcher Max Scherzer will not start Game 6 of the National League Championship Series tonight at Atlanta because of arm fatigue. Walker Buehler going to start instead. The Braves lead the series 3-2. And guys, finishing up, one last NFL note that just came down. The Indianapolis Colts have downgraded receiver T.Y. Hilton to out for tomorrow's game on Sunday Night Football at San Francisco because of a quad injury. Fellas, back to you.
What you got, TJ?
We defy aging with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive.
All right. Let's jump into it. We're obviously getting close to wrapping it up. Let's make sure we jump into this bad boy and, well.
Time for some picks.
Are you up on game?
Hey, let's crank this up. Let's crank it up.
Or down on game.
Get down.
There you go. We got our man Jay Gallian from Straight Facts Podcast, our expert in betting and handicapping. Let's get going.
Yo.
Let's get going. How you doing? How you doing, Jake?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I came in here really high and mighty last week. I had a 3-0 week against the spread. I'm going to have to tamp down on that energy a little bit. 1-2 last week against the spread. I'm going to come in a little quieter, but we still have a great set of games here. And I'll just start off with what I think is the game of the week. The Kansas City Chiefs -4 at the Titans, over under, all the way up at 57.5. And all year, Kansas City has been plagued by turnovers, most in the league. But this Tennessee defense has only forced the 6th least turnovers. So a good matchup there, a top 3 running team versus a top 3 passing team, a classic matchup. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce dealing with injuries. We'll start with LeVar. Where are you going on this one?
I think Tennessee is going to win. So pick Tennessee to win this game. And I think that you got to start wondering if people need to start breaking out the fire extinguishers in Kansas City to put out what may be seemingly a dumpster fire starting.
Mm.
Yeah, so you don't have to take the negative for it because they're going to win.
Go ahead, Plex. I'll go last.
I'm going Kansas City to win. And I'm going under 57. I believe the Kansas City Chiefs will make Tennessee one-dimensional, stop Derrick Henry, and force Ryan Tannehill to throw the football.
I'm going to take the Chiefs as well. And it's really crazy because the Chiefs, they win games, but they don't cover. And that's really odd. But I truly believe if Kansas City is the team that they think they are, they have to win this game. And I believe they will win it by a touchdown, and I will also go over. I believe it will be a shootout. Both teams are very average defensively, just Kansas City's a little bit better offensively.
On the total point output, I'm going to take the under on that too, by the way, just so.
Gotcha, thank you.
Oh, after you hear us take the under,
well,
here
after,
you go.
After this week of picks, I'm certain that you
guys
will
just listening to the knowledge of wide receivers.
But y'all
that's
just
all
took,
it is.
Y'all just took the overs. Y'all just took
the
overs.
No, I went over.
I took the under.
Okay, so you're being self-centered then because TJ just took the over. I'm taking the under. Let's go, Jake. Let's go, Jake.
Hey, I'll even it out. I'm going to take the over in this one, and we'll go Tennessee plus the points. I think we're going to see a close ball game, but we'll move along to the AFC matchup that everyone wants to see. The Bengals at the Ravens, huge implications for division seeding. The Bengals quietly have a top 5 defense in yards and points. Lamar will be without Sammy Watkins. No Latavius Murray either. Ravens -6.5 in this one with an over-under of 46. We'll start with TJ. Where are you going in this one?
I'm taking the Bengals, and I'm going over. The Bengals, if they are the team that I think they can be and will be, they have to be competitive. And being competitive is not losing this game by more than a touchdown. I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm taking Baltimore, and I'm taking over 46.
I'm taking under 46, and I'm taking the Ravens.
Y'all some haters.
Yeah, they will cover the points.
They will cover the spread.
All they need is a touchdown to cover that spread. I'm going to go Ravens -6.5 and the under 46 as well. Now we're going to go to my squad, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, jeez.
That's right.
Whatever's against the Eagles, we're taking that.
Raiders -3, over under of 48.5. The Raiders have been great rushing the passer, tied for sixth most sacks in the league. The Eagles only middle of the pack in stopping those sacks. But the Raiders have been extremely lucky. No fumbles lost this year. They put the ball on the ground 8 times, none of those going to the other teams. If a simple fumble gets lost, I think the Eagles are looking good. But we'll start with Flax. Who you got in this one?
I'm going with the Raiders. I'm taking the under on the points.
I'm taking the over on the points, and I'm taking the Raiders in the win.
Oh, man.
I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, man.
I'm going with the Eagles, and I'm taking the over.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff there. There we go. We got someone on the side of the good guy. Eagles +3 is the side I'm going to be on. Look, if Nick Sirianni can figure out that he needs to run the football, third most yards per attempt in the league, they're going to be fine. I'll take the over 48.5, and I think we have time for one more here, guys. We're going to go to an ugly one. Lions at Rams. Rams favored by 16.5. Oh, my goodness. Over under 50.5. The Lions are winless. They haven't led at halftime even. Maybe we see a revenge game from Jared Goff, but without Hockenson and Swift, we're both limited in practice. I'm really iffy on this one. Where do you guys go?
Garbage Time says that they're not going to cover a spread that big. So I'm not taking that. They're not going to cover that. But they will spank them. And I am not. I'll take the over on the points altogether.
So you're taking the Lions, huh?
I'm taking the Rams.
You said they won't cover.
The Rams are going to win, but they're not going to beat them by more than
16. So you're taking the Lions.
Well, okay, if that's what that means. I'm not an expert on this stuff. So, yeah, the Lions.
I'm taking the L.A. Rams. The Bengals just blew the Lions out. We would all assume and say the Rams have a better offense than the Bengals. I'm taking the L.A. Rams. They're going to win this by 20 points. It will go under because the Lions won't score much.
I'll take the Lions +13. I'll take them on the points to cover that they won't lose by 13. And I'll take under I'm taking under 50.5.
I see this one a little different. I think that the Lions finally get something going on offense. 50.5 points isn't too bad for an over. I've got them and the Lions +16.5. Guys, thank you so much. And if you want to see more betting content, check out the Straight Facts Twitter page.
There it is. Jay Galley from Straight Facts Podcast. Go to the Twitter page. Check them out. Part of the network, friend of the show, all that good stuff. And speaking of the Rams, you know what they'll cover? They'll cover off on getting you off the couch and into the stadium parking lot. It's football season, people. That means tailgating is back this season. Do it right. Pack up your coolers, your grills, your widescreen TVs, all that good stuff. Load them up onto your Ram. And, you know, understand that it's the truck that's redefining what a truck can be. Ram leads the pack. Interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. The first time a truck brand has ever scored that high. Ram trucks have a rugged durability to haul what you need, but it also has a luxurious interior to make your drive to every game a pleasure. Get behind the wheel of a truck brand that will turn heads every single time you roll up to the game. Get ready for football with a Ram truck. Learn more about Ram and what it has to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 J.D. Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. On the other side of this break, we will be wrapping up the show. Take a deep breath because, well, if you don't catch your breath, then you won't be able to handle all of the fire that Joy Taylor is going to be bringing in her show as well. Maybe we'll get her in here for some crosstalk if we see her. If not, don't worry about it. We're going to wrap this bad boy up one way or the other. In fact, the superstar has just walked into the studio. So on the other side of this break, we're going to make it dance. You're listening to Up On Game, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How?
Okay.
Yeah, you heard a different voice right there. That just cracked the mic right there. We up in here getting it all. You know why? Because what is what? Hey, she fire. That's Joy Taylor. She fire. You know what I mean? Hey. I feel bad for you, TJ. I feel bad for you, Plex, because you don't get the... You don't get to jam out with your girl Joy Taylor right here on live radio. I do. All right, welcome back into the show as we're wrapping up. It's been an amazing thing, and in fact, you got to make sure that as you walk down the end of this show, you do it the right way, because you know what? You got enough energy to do so, TJ.
And you know why.
Why? Right? Tell us why, man. Tell us why.
Because I'm Define Aging with M-Drive. The supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and gets you lean.
Driven.
Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive.
Get M-Drive. Joy Taylor is joining us, as I mentioned earlier, and that's why we came into fire. What you got coming on at the top of the show? What are you going to be talking about?
We're going to talk a little Baker and Browns. There's a little bit of panic in Cleveland and surrounding what they should do with Baker moving forward. I don't think they should panic.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk about this Deshaun Watson possible trade to Miami, what they're going to do with Tua. That's a disaster. What a disaster.
Now, you're a Miami person. What do you think? Do you think that some way, somehow, Deshaun Watson will be cleared to play if he gets traded?
I have no idea. And that's my issue with how this is even a legitimate conversation. I don't know. I don't know who amongst us does know. I don't know if the league knows. I don't know if the lawyers know. I don't know if Deshaun and his people knows. I don't know who knows.
She sounds like somebody else I know.
Who is that, Plexico?
That would be myself.
That would be myself. All right. So as you can hear from Joy Taylor, a lot of interesting things. There's a lot of meat on those bones. We left a whole lot for Joy to get at it. So by all means, Joy, have at it. If you've been listening to the show, we appreciate it. Make sure you check out and subscribe to our podcast. Tune in every weekend. We're always going to be here. It's Up On Game. LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushman's out of Plexico Burris. And then there's always the wonderful, super talented Joy Taylor that takes over after we get up out of here. So make sure you stay tuned and locked in to be able to hear what she has to say. She does an amazing show. So, all right, that'll do it for us. I'm going to go home and try to see the rest of my Penn State Nittany Lions, Oregon State, Michigan State. They don't matter.